This podcast is brought to you by the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania.
Well, we know how much supply chain was a focus during the pandemic and to a degree still is right now. The wide range of issues made many experts take a deeper dive as to what needs to be reviewed, and that supply chain may need to be reworked. And now enter artificial intelligence, which is expected to transform so many different sectors. But how will it impact supply chain? A new type of machine learning may be playing an important role. Pleasure to be joined right now by Morris Cohen, who's Professor Emeritus of Manufacturing and Logistics here at the Wharton School. He is also founder of 83 Analytics, which is a startup that has developed a new methodology to try and improve supply chains. Morris, great to have you with us. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Before we dig into what you guys are doing with OML, optimal machine learning, I just wanted to get your thoughts in general about the time of the pandemic, about what we saw play out with supply chain, and really the things that needed to be looked at and what that period of time kind of opened our eyes to around supply chain.
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, I and a group of my colleagues have just completed an empirical study on how firms have responded to the COVID pandemic disruption in terms of their supply chain logistics decisions. And we looked at a data set that captured all of the imports by maritime, by sea, into the U.S. from all over the world. And we had some interesting observations. One would expect at a time of uncertainty that companies should go away from one source and have multiple suppliers. We didn't find that. What we found was that a heightened concern for political risk, and that companies were more concerned about the address of their supplier than the number of suppliers. What country are we sourcing from? And so there was shifts from places like China to Vietnam and India and so on. Also changes in the pattern of ordering, placing larger orders less often to have more inventory. So there have been changes, some of them expected, some of them a little surprising.
And so one of the things that has been talked about is the work that you and your colleagues have been doing around this optimal machine learning. Explain it a little bit more into detail as to what it all entails.
Well, it all comes down to the fact that we live in a very interesting time now. The amount of data that's available, the detailed transaction-level data that pertains to supply chain shipments and so on, has exploded. And also, there's much more data about customers and firms and factories and distribution networks and so on. So there's a lot more information available. What we've historically done is focus on, can we come up with a better forecast and use that forecast to make a better decision? Forecast usually, therefore, being an input to some kind of a trade-off model. What we did is we stepped back from this and said, is there a way of connecting this expanded data set that's now available to companies and to optimally use it directly to create better decision recommendations as opposed to just making a better forecast? Because at the end of the day, even with machine learning, even with more data, we still are going to have forecast errors. We're still going to have trade-offs and constraints. And so there was not a way of using machine learning and AI for prescriptive analytics more effectively, and that's what we're doing.
So you bring up the fact that, I guess, supply chain really has taken the mindset of predict and optimize.
Exactly.
And you say that's not always the case that is the best path, and maybe as we go even further, we want to move away from that a little bit.
Well, that's what we're recommending. Our methodology, the optimal machine learning, basically takes that multi-step approach, predict, then optimize, into a one-step approach. Take the data and compare or figure out how you can use that data directly to support decisions. The data that comes in includes all historical data at a very detailed transaction level. That could include forecasts as an input. Forecasts, if you think about it, are nothing more than transformations of historical data. So our approach can take in any type of historical data, any transformation of that data, including forecasts from multiple sources, and ask the question, with all of this information, what would be the best use of that data to make a decision? Like, how much inventory should I stock at a location at a point in time in the future in order to guarantee or ensure against shortage or to reduce costs? And so that decision of what weight give to the many, many data inputs that are available is basically what we solve through a very extended optimization procedure that ultimately comes up with weights for the decision inputs.
And so your firm has been testing OML with some Fortune 500 companies?
Yes. We've worked with some large companies in the semiconductor equipment supply chain area and in advanced consumer electronics, which have global supply chains, just to name a few. And we were able to take this methodology and implement it in these environments show how the application of a machine learning-based methodology that optimizes the use of data can lead to better decisions.
And obviously we're at a time right now where the data that we do get, we can get it in a much quicker fashion, and in many cases we can parse it in a quicker fashion than maybe we could years ago.
And that raises a very good point, because that then supports agility and resilience. The data is changing, you know, rapidly, and we have access, if not real time, to very near to real time observations of data. So with our approach, you can incorporate new information as it's observed and adjust your decisions. You can also use it to define future scenarios, which, while you can't predict them, you have to anticipate them. Like, will, you know, a tanker get stuck in the Suez Canal? Will there be a war between Russia and the Ukraine? These are scenarios that people thought of, perhaps, but never, you know, didn't know exactly when or where or if they could happen. And if we can imagine these scenarios and incorporate them into our planning process, then we can use them to come up with strategies that will mitigate risk.
And so our and so when you talk about something like the pandemic, obviously, this was something that was, you know, every 100 years.
Right.
You just don't expect it to happen, but at least you can start to formulate ideas as to how you're going to be able to mitigate a lot of the issues that could potentially be there.
Absolutely. As I said, we can't forecast and predict the future, but we can imagine the future. And if we can imagine it, then we can come up with strategies to deal with it. And that's the role of managers, to think about those things.
Take a moment. You mentioned agility and resilience as two of the key words in this process. When you talk about supply chains, why is it that those two components are so important?
Well, they basically capture, both in the short term and in the long term, how the fundamental role of the supply chain has to be achieved. What is that role? It's to match supply with demand at every location, at every point in time. It's a very simple thing, but it's very hard to pull off. Yep. Agility is, as I define it, is our ability to incorporate information in real time and update our decisions. We have a disruption in the Suez Canal. We got to find a new mode of transport. Supplier's factory just had a fire. We have to find a different source. These are, you know, immediate responses. If you recall, during the pandemic, there was a shortage of toilet paper, right?
Yes.
And that was not because there was not enough toilet paper in the country. It's just it was in the wrong format in the wrong place. Once companies figured out how to adjust, then they were able to match supply with demand. That's agility. But in the long run, you have to think about the design of the supply chain. Where are we getting our inputs from? Who are our suppliers?
Right.
What countries are we dealing with? What technology are we using? What is the best design of our product and our process? These longer-term decisions support resilience, which typically, you know, implies responding to a disruption and then being able to bounce back. So in order to do that, you may have to make longer-term structural decisions. So both in the short term and in the long term, we have to use data to make better decisions.
Morris, great to talk with you. Thanks very much. All the best with this work. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Take care.
You got it. Morris Cohen, Professor Emeritus of Manufacturing and Logistics here at Wharton, also founder of AD3 Analytics. To explore more content from the Wharton School, visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.